بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعليه وصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Take the hood off,
bro. You got a hood off, bro. This is what happens when you cut your hair, bro. Like,
you thought he was like light skinned final boss or something.
It's cold outside.
Matter of fact, why did you cut your hair? I don't even know why you did that. You just
my brother can't get a haircut nowadays.
Just why? Just explain to us why.
Just so it's easier for me to wake up. That's it, man. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah, because you got to get up and do your hair and all that stuff, bro.
Yeah, not all of us get to wake up and just have our braids ready or whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to exchange. You know, you got to at least get it done at least once a month or something.
All right, anyway, I didn't even tell the brothers the topic, but what I wanted to talk about is the difference between being religious and being spiritual. Because a lot of people put the term being religious to mean like the whole aspect of, you know, being religious as a Muslim. But honestly, you have people who forget the spiritual aspect of being a Muslim and people who forget the religious aspect of being a Muslim. The religious aspect being taking heed of your actions, your actual good deeds that you have to do to earn the mercy of Allah. Like, you can't just believe in Allah and think, oh, Allah is the most merciful, but then you don't do any of your good deeds and you think you're going to go to Jannah or something. But then you also can't just be someone who only does good deeds and you have no spirituality. You don't have an actual relationship with Allah. All you do is these good deeds. You trap yourself trying to do good deeds on top of good deeds, but you don't actually have a relationship with Allah. And what I mean by that is, like, you don't make dua asking Allah for who he is. You just make dua just to make dua. Or you just pray just to pray.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a good analogy for this. It's praying with just movements versus praying like, and you actually having your heart submit to Allah. You get me? So it's like, sometimes some people, or like, even I used to struggle with this when I was younger. It's like, when I prayed, I just thought it was Allahu Akbar. I Sheikh Ferrari, I used to go super fast. I just think, I completed the prayer, that was it. That's fulfilled the obligation. But you have to really deep what you're saying. You have to really, like, when you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, nothing else matters right now. No, you're praying. You say your Fatiha, and you recite a short surah from the Quran. You have to remember Allah in these moments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you establish the prayer for his remembrance. You got to understand that.
And then you also reflect upon also what you're saying too. Because especially if, you know, you're someone where, you know, Arabic is not your language, right? Or it's not the language that you primarily speak. And you're just sitting there, you're going through the movements. And then you finally take the time to actually just understand exactly what you're saying. What Allahu Akbar actually means. Or what Subhanallah Rabbil Azeem means. Or Subhanallah Rabbil A'la actually means. And then that sense of peace that you get after the prayer, like, there's nothing comparable to that. Or when you're sitting there and you're listening to the imam recite, or when you're sitting there reciting yourself and you feel that in your heart, there's no other feeling that can beat or compete or compare to that type of feeling.
You know, one thing I also, you know, I see often on social media, subhanAllah, is a lot of people have, like, I don't know, maybe a view of their own of Islam. I've seen this trend going around. It was weird. It was like, the propaganda, what? I'm not falling for as a Muslim.
Bro. Yes, I was literally just thinking about that, bro. Like, it was crazy to think, like, dude, I see that the thing pop up and I was like, dude, like, this is actually kind of scary, bro.
Like, explain what it is.
So, like, for example, you'd be like, things I will not, propaganda I refuse to fall for as a Muslim. And then it's like, some things that they say is just completely outrageous, that just go completely against Islam. Like, for example, I refuse to believe that every Muslim will enter into Jannah or something like that. You know, things of that nature. Like, what are some outrageous things that you see?
Yeah, no, people were saying, like, that Jannah is only reserved for Muslims. But we can't say anything for who Jannah is reserved for. That's for one. But we can just go based off of what the Quran and Sunnah tells us. Mm-hmm. And that is, for one, that it is reserved for people who Allah deems to be worthy of Jannah by his mercy. That could be someone who is Muslim. It could be someone who was not Muslim their entire life, and then they became Muslim just by the feeling in their heart, or like the iman they had in their heart. Because everything that we do is between us and Allah at the end of the day.
Exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the only distinction between us, or even the Rasulullah, or even in the Sunnah, it's taqwa. It's like your God consciousness, the fear that you have for Allah. That's the only distinction between any person, any human being, between me, between you, not our hair, not our the way we look, not our money, not any of these things. That's the only way you can get really raise your rank and honor is through your taqwa. That's what we believe in Islam. And when you look at it like that, I can't see how much taqwa you have. I can't see how much taqwa Usman has. That's exactly like, so it's not for me to say you're going to Jannah, you're going to Jahannam. It's like, I can't, something like it's not known to me. I'm not the knower of the unseen. So it's like one of those things where people are just speaking on what they don't know about.
And there's a lack of a lot of things, which is why I pose this difference of religiousness versus spirituality. Because when you're religious, of course, you wanna up the amount of good deeds you wanna do. But as you're doing more good deeds, you wanna make sure your spirituality is following suit. Because if you have weak spirituality, then doing these good deeds is not really going to fulfill you as much as you want. But when you're building that relationship with Allah and your spirituality is following suit, meaning you have this personal relationship with Allah, meaning your relationship is not like the next person. It's not like your family member. It's not like your friend. Like, you have your own relationship. The du'as you make, the way you feel when you're making du'a, that's completely different than what someone else is feeling. The way you feel when you're praying, it may be different. Some people may respond better when they feel like, oh, this is the last prayer I'm ever going to do. Some people may respond better when they're thinking about a different thing to help them focus in the prayer. But that's that relationship that you have with Allah. And what does fear of Allah mean? This God consciousness doesn't just necessarily mean fear of Allah's punishment. It's just thinking about when you're in a certain situation, how are you meant to react in this situation? Because when you think of Allah, you're going to react differently. When Allah is constantly on your mind, you're always going to react in the way that Allah wants you to react, not in the way that Shaitan would want you to react. Because what in a situation where you're arguing and you get angry, that's going to take your iman away. You might say something you'll regret. You might do an action, a physical action. You might hurt someone. These are not things that Allah would be pleased with. So when you have God consciousness, those things will stop you from doing something that you might regret later on.
Or speaking about fearing Allah, another way is when you truly, truly love somebody, what do you fear? You fear losing this person.
Fear losing that relationship.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that relationship. You wouldn't do anything to sever that relationship. And if you did do something, you'd be doing your best to go ahead and correct that. So when it comes to our relationship with Allah, which is the best type of relationship we'll have in this dunya and the afterlife, right? It's the fact that, all right, we have to fear that, you know, our iman can be taken from us at any moment. That this is the biggest blessing that was given onto us, right? So we have to take care of it, right? When we go against Allah, when we sin against ourselves, we have to go ahead and seek Allah's forgiveness because we don't want to lose that relationship.
It's the fact that that sin that you might commit, that might be the last, like, khalas. It's fear that repentance, like there could be a seal on your heart. You don't know what could happen. You don't know that, like, it could push you into negligence.
Mm. Yeah, look, and also, you know, something that really frustrates me that I see on social media is that, you know, a lot of people who give da'wah or they try to give reminders, a lot of people may give reminders based on, like, one scholar's view. But when you do that, you might neglect what other people might believe. Because there's not one singular view of Islam. There's not one singular view to interpret the religion, which is why we have different madahib and different scholars who've interpreted the religion. And did the Prophet ﷺ ever say they were wrong? When the Sahaba, they had disputes, there were times where he said, both of you are right, because the religion is not necessarily black and white. If it was, then we would only have one way, and that was the only way that there is to follow. But there are different ways to go about following the Quran and Sunnah. Because although these things are timeless, the time doesn't stay the same. The times that you live in will never be the same. So you're going to need people to come up with rulings, which is where we get these fatwas from these scholars. But when we go online and put certain things out there that we're not 100% certain on, or you don't know how other people are going to interpret it, that's where it becomes dangerous, which is why, even for myself, I've kind of, like, taken a step back on, like, the things that I say. Rather than just saying something, I'm thinking, like, okay, I'd rather just tell you about, like, a dua I just found out than anything else, because I'm not 100% certain how this may go about someone else. Someone else may believe a different scholar's opinion on this matter or whatever it is. So I'd rather not talk about it because I'm a layman. We all have to understand our position as people who are, like, seeking knowledge, because when you're a Muslim, bro, it's like going out there giving out medical advice and you have no credentials. Like, there could be 50 different medical opinions on a specific thing. You're out here giving a whole bunch of different opinions, not saying where this opinion came from or how useful it is, but you're just putting it out there for everybody to read and say, like, this is the way you should do things. But then someone else might feel something different, but now they feel they're wrong. And that's something that I've been victim of. I'm like, I'm seeing videos of certain people, like, posting certain things, and I'm just like, but is this the only way to adopt the religion? It's like, this is the only thing that we care about? Which is why I talk about the difference between religiousness and spirituality, because religiousness is going to help you understand the rules and the regulations, things that are forbidden upon you, things that are halal upon you. But is that the whole religion? Is that the main part of the religion? No, it's not. The main part is to understand the oneness of Allah, to develop a relationship with Allah, to pray, to fast, to give zakah. And how do you develop these actions? Is by developing a love for Allah, because when you develop a love for Allah, Allah is going to love you. But to be able to do these actions and want to stay away from what he's forbidden, you have to love Allah. You can't just do it just because you fear him, because you'll never stay in that state. You're never going to succeed only living out of fear of Allah. You have to hope more in his mercy than ever fearing him. Because Allah's default in himself is to forgive you, is to show you mercy rather than punish you, especially when you seek forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Like me and my boy yesterday were talking about this. We were like, the angel's on your shoulders. As soon as you do a good deed or even have an intention for a good deed, that thing that's recorded. But as soon as you do a bad deed, you have a grace period. Because if you seek forgiveness within that grace period, it's never written down. Mm-hmm. And that is truly just the mercy of Allah right there. Like, if Allah really wanted to punish you, because this was one of the things that I saw in like this propaganda thing. It was like, God is a punisher who's waiting to punish us for our sins. I was like, where is this? Which Muslim told you this? Like, what?
Yeah, but then also on the other hand, you got to also understand the other side too, because, you know, you never want to twist things. You might have a person who, your intention is to commit a sin, but then your intention is to repent right afterwards. And also then that's also meaningless, because I was watching a video about that the other day and I was thinking, wow, like this is actually quite scary too, because, you know, how many times, you know, do we think about something, do it intentionally, and then we're like, oh, well, I'll just seek forgiveness afterwards. And then it's just like, you know, that forgiveness that you sought out may have not been sincere in that moment, because you already had that thought in your mind. You're like, oh, I'll just do that afterwards. And there's no even guarantee that you're even going to make it through. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest wisdoms, even taking it from that, one of the biggest wisdoms is that when you sin, you said this earlier, when you sin against yourself. You don't harm Allah in any way. Neither does your good acts, does it raise Allah. And it doesn't, it's really for yourself. You have to understand that anything that Allah has made forbidden in the religion, anything that's haram, anything in the Quran that the Quran warns against, it's for yourself. Completely, wholeheartedly, it's so that you could purify your heart, you can become a better person, be a good person, you can become among the mindful and be among a person who reasons. One of my favorite like verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes like the disbelievers as cattle, or like they're even more worse in their way. That's in Surah Furqan. He says they're like cattle. And what does that mean? It's like, because it seemed that the only thing that distinguishes human beings from animals is our ability to act on something more than just instinct. We can act on knowledge. We know that it's wrong for us, so we stay away from it. If you find yourself, if you can't see something, even if, no matter what your instinct tells you, if you can't see something and say that it's wrong for you and know that it's wrong for you and stay away from it, what's to say that you're not just like a sheep who because follows wherever his flock goes?
I mean, yeah, that's why we always have to build a strong basis, because two of the biggest, you know, reasons why we're weak is because, one, we lack the ability to say no, and we lack the ability to ask why. You know, these two things are what's going to, you know, make or break a person. Because, you know, if you're constantly falling into your desires, you can't say no to yourself. You can't say no to your friends. You can't say no to the whispers of the shaitan. You know, you got to understand that, you know, you're really weak at that point, because there's nothing that you can do to go ahead and fight. You can't stand up for yourself. You're not standing up for anything. But when you have a basis, when you have a relationship with Allah, you're going to be able to say no to these things. You're going to be able to question things, because why? You're amongst those who reason. You're amongst those, you know, who make a meaning out of something, right?
And I want people to understand the connotation behind when you say weak. I want you to understand how destructive that weakness is. Because if you follow anything that, like, you just desire, you follow anything you desire, you don't have no, you don't, you, because here's the thing. Every human being, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose the command of Allah. We can choose what's right. We can choose what's right for us. Or you can choose whatever your heart tells you. Whenever you feel sleepy, I go to sleep. Whenever you feel hungry, let me fill my stomach. And you know, it's like, it can be extremely destructive if you choose always whatever your heart desires. Just like the hedonism. It's hedonistic. And we see how destructive that is.
Yeah, no, one thing that's always sticking with me is what you said, you know, a few weeks ago. You know, is my religion or my iman just based on how I'm feeling that day? Because if it is, then I'm in real big trouble. You know what I mean? Because there's plenty of days when you don't feel like doing anything, or plenty of days you don't feel like waking up for fajr, but you got to understand these are things that you have to do, right? This is your obligation as a Muslim. So if these things are all based off feelings, then, you know, what kind of world are we living in?
And the reality is, I'm not saying that, oh, you should deny your emotions, because you should acknowledge your emotions. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't allow your emotions to dictate your reality. Because here's the thing, I could be a person, because people are different, right? I could be a person, I get anxiety and I get afraid every time I walk outside. Does that mean I'm going to confine myself into my house and let it determine my reality? That's going to be the way I live?
Yeah.
You can't let that happen. I can be a person who I love Osman so much that I fear for him so much that I don't want him driving. I don't want him doing anything. I restrict him, right? I try to restrict him as best as I can. But then you see how that becomes destructive when I follow my desires and I don't use reason. I'm not thinking straight. You get me?
You can apply that to a marriage, honestly.
Exactly.
Because
you're not thinking. You have to be able to use reason and make decisions based off the knowledge and the experiences that you have. And also just generally be able to think things through. Because you have to understand, as a human being, that is our superpower. I'm not as strong as a boar. I'm not as strong as a cat or a gorilla or whatever it may be. I'm not as fast as a cheetah, but I'm a strategist. I can think. I can develop moves. I can see. I can develop knowledge. I'm not going to touch a fire 1,000 times because after the first time, I've learned that it's going to burn me.
Learn how strong Hidayah is, bro. Because when you ask Allah for Hidayah, when you ask Allah for guidance, it's not just guidance for like your prayers and whatnot. It's guidance for every decision you want to make. Guidance for everything that's going to keep you upon the straight path and to keep you upon His pleasure. Because the pleasure of Allah is everything. When you get friends, when you treat your family right, when you treat strangers right, when you treat your spouse right, or the spouse you end up marrying, or your children that you have, you all want that to be for the pleasure of Allah. Because when you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, it's never ending. You never want to stop doing it because you know this is pleasing to Allah. You can stop pleasing a person, because if you try pleasing a person for the sake of them, one day they might be displeased with you. And everything you did good for them, it's been wiped away. You could do 1,000 rights. As soon as you do one wrong, someone can throw you away. They don't care. But for Allah, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. For Allah, you could do 1,000 rights. You do one wrong. You seek forgiveness. That wrong is now a right.
Yeah,
like, bro, and you think about it, subhanAllah, that this, when you have this guidance, you're going to be able to use reason. When things feel difficult, when you're not 100% sure, you'd rather just navigate that as best as you can, knowing that in your heart, in your intention, you're trying to please Allah. If you're not necessarily doing it in that moment, Allah may give you the guidance to show you how to do it differently. Or He may bring you the knowledge to show you how to do it differently. But in that moment, it's really important to understand where your intention lies, because we can't hide behind intention if we're going to do haram. But if we're unknowingly doing certain things, which we all do every single day, we unknowingly do things. We're unaware of certain things, which is why it's so important to keep our intentions in a good place, our intentions in a place where we want to please Allah. If I'm doing anything that's wrong or that it may be displeasing to Allah, know that it's from me. It's not from Allah. If I'm doing anything good, know that that's from Allah. And that humbleness and that humility is really what's going to be like your driving factor. Because the world we live in today is difficult. It's difficult. Like we find it difficult to always interpret the Quran and Sunnah, because our interpretations are always going to be wrong. We're opinionated. We follow our desires. When we see something, we're like, you see it all the time on the internet. People will take a Quran verse and be like, bro, that's not, that has nothing to do with what the actual verse is talking about. But you try to apply it to today to try to make it more modern and stuff. But that's not how it's going to work. There is a way to live your life as a Muslim in this day and age, but you can't seek to do it on your own. It's the same way, like, if you can't, it's just you like, can't prescribe look, yourself medicine reason, because look, you're not a doctor.
Look, there's a reason why Islam is keen on the preservation of knowledge. And that's why even to now, I feel like a lot of people got to put more respect on like scholars and people who have really studied, because they've dedicated their entire life to this religion and they truly understand things like how we don't understand them. They pull from knowledge like how we don't understand, like how we don't pull from it. It's like sometimes I'll be reading Quran and I read it and some verses I kind of won't understand like where it came, like when did it get sent down? What's the context of it? How, like, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean by this? And then you go and you look and you see an interpretation and it's explained perfectly. And it's like, these people have not only been learning from, it's like a generational thing. Like as it goes back from him to him to him to him to him to him, all the way back to the
generational.
Like, yeah, all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Exactly. So it's like, you got to put a lot of respect on these people and a lot of respect on their opinions. I see like a lot of times nowadays, a lot of people will like, try to defame scholars or like try to like say, oh no, this guy's this and this guy's that. And this guy's this. I'm like,
yeah, like, you gotta understand, do you know better?
You gotta understand what you're saying here. Like you just disrespected this man's entire, he might have dedicated his entire life to this religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. And you're here on the internet saying like bad things about him. Like you gotta relax, but you gotta calm
about
down.
Bad,
relax.
But bad things, because why?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't align with your
the way
desires.
You think. Exactly. And here's the thing. People, the reason they say bad things like that and the reason they try to call people out like that is it's from their desires. Like no one ever thinks this stuff through. This guy, he spent his entire life, like he dedicated his entire life to this religion just for you to come along and say like, nope. Like, nah, he's wrong. Nah.
Because
I saw something else. Nah, he's wrong. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, because you just got to go back to the basics. I mean, every single prophet literally came with the same message, is to worship Allah, the one who made you, right? Allah is the worshipped one. So when you worship Allah, like how do we worship Allah? Do I, you know, do I blink five times? Do I do some push-ups? Do I start smiling at people? Like what is the worship to Allah? No, Allah sent messengers so that we can go ahead and understand his message. And then the messengers, after that, you have the scholars, right? That go ahead and interpret everything that happened. You have the messenger, then you have, you know, the Sahaba, and then you have the Tabi'een, the Tabi'een, and then you have our scholars, right? And yet you have all these sources of knowledge and guides, right? And yet you sit here and you want to choose what you feel is best.
Even if you want to take a minority opinion or whatever it may be, you can never discredit someone who dedicated their life to this, bro. Like that's all I'm gonna tell you.
No, the biggest thing is the fact that they're coming with evidence. Like, where's your evidence?
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Exactly. Like this is what I mean, like why we have to put ourselves in a position to be students of knowledge, because yes, there is ikhtilaf. There is differences of opinion in many different places. But if you're not going to take someone else's opinion, you have to be firm upon the opinion you do take. And we can't always just sit here and pick and choose the interpretation that fits our narrative. Because Allah talks about that in the Quran. He talks about people who will take interpretations to fit like their own desire. Now, see, you're not always taking an interpretation based on your knowledge and based on what you feel is best for you, based on what you feel is going to bring you closer to Allah. It's based on what's going to help me in the dunya.
And you, it comes back, a circle back to that point where what separates a human being from an animal, it's our ability to act on more than just instinct. Stop taking things from just your instinct and your desires and, you know, that naturally. Here's the thing. You might think that the righteous man, you might see the scholar with like, he's beautiful, Allahumma barik, like some of the best of men. You might think that they don't have desires. No, they have desires. But they act upon knowledge. Like they choose righteousness. That's the whole point. The blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he gave us a choice. You can choose to be the best you could possibly be, or you can choose to be like a sheep. You can, it's genuinely that it boils down to that. Every single person that you see them in a high status and you see them in an honorable status, they chose that. They chose that. You have to think they thank Allah for that. Anybody who's pious, anybody who's righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it wasn't a choice from them, and if it wasn't from like, you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance upon them, there wouldn't be like a status like as-sabiqun, like the forerunners, or ashab al-yameen, or ashab al-shimal. People have to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And if people are being punished, if we know that there's going to be a punishment on the day of judgment, and there's also going to be a reward, it's because of what you did. It's going to be like, you chose this. Even Shaitan on the day of judgment, he's going to come. He's going to sing it. Like, he's going to be saying some things. He says, he's going to say, don't blame me. Blame yourself. I gave you a promise. And Allah gave you a promise. And Allah gave you the promise of truth. Shaitan recognizes that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the promise of truth. You had the choice. It's like, it boils down to that.
You know, what you can also think of too, is like, we're all going to have regrets on the day of judgment. You know, some of us may think, oh, I wish I prayed 2 more rak'at. I wish I made more dhikr. Even think about the deeds you do right now and like the direction you're going in life. Is this going to be a regret or something that you can, like Allah can praise you for on the day of judgment? You know, like certain actions that you do, are these things that Allah may ask you about and you'll be like, if you were to only send me back, I would not do this anymore and I'll do more good in from what I left behind. Like the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send to the hellfire, as he talks about in Surah Al-Mu'minun, where they say, you know, send me back. Because now I see, now I believe, like that this is true. So if you send me back, I'll do good. Even though Allah says it's just a word.
It's just a word they say. You know how scary that is to me? Because I saw a quote and it says, a man who is not true, there is no goodness in a person who is not true to their word. Because you can say anything you want. I could talk up a storm. I could promise Usman $1 billion. But if I'm not true to my, like, it literally means nothing. Literally means nothing.
No, but you, like, think of this magnitude. You're on the day of judgment, right? You're being judged by Allah. The hellfire is right below you. Allah is judging you, telling you like you're destined to hell. And you're like, okay, no. If you send me back, trust me, I'm going to do good. I'm going to do good deeds. I'm not going to do any bad deeds. But Allah tells you this is only a word that you say. Meaning you've seen all this. Yeah. You've seen all this. You know all this to be true, and you're still going to go back on disbelief.
And around in Surah 45.
No, because here's the thing though. Because you also got to understand. Did we not all say Allah is our Lord before we came into this world? Like, you got to think about that. So the moment that he just does the complete opposite is when we're in the next life, it sends us back here. It's going to be the same type of thing because we were already somewhere where we said it. We believe, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go into the afterlife talking about something we believe, of course you're going to come back and do the same thing because you're just going to forget your ways.
It reminds me, even in Surah Furqan, the disbelievers, they like demanded an assembly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, oh, if only the angels had been sent down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they become arrogant within themselves. Like, is this dude. Like, is this not, like, bro, I'm looking all around, I'm like, bro, is this not enough?
Bro, when I heard that recitation, bro, I was like, wow, subhanAllah. Like, it's actually scary to think about.
Like, they're like, subhanAllah.
No, because, like, who are you to challenge Allah?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just think about that for a second. Like,
even think back to our personal experience. Remember when we used to, like, go on TikTok live a lot, and you, for the most part, used to debate a lot of people. You heard every single excuse in the book. Mm-hmm. Every single excuse. Wait. From a Christian, from an atheist, every single excuse, every single, but what about this? No. What about that?
You guys are talking about challenging Allah. I mean, think about it even for, like, how dangerous it is as Muslims when we think of Allah a way that he, like, had never described himself.
If you think bad of Allah, imagine like how bad, like how destructive it is for a Muslim. Like, you're a Muslim.
No. Let's say you think good of Allah, but you think yourself to be much better than you are on the side of Allah. Meaning, like he said, you commit a sin knowingly, and you plan to repent afterwards.
You want to know what I think that is? I think that's arrogance. You want to know why? Because you think that you can get away with some things that other people can't get just because, I don't know, I'm special. You know what that reminds me of? I'll put in an analogy that everyone can like understand. I think that I really don't have to go to the gym that much because my body's just special. I'm going to get strong. But what's really going to happen? I'm just going to get no muscles, no nothing. Because my arrogance leads me astray. You got to think about it like that. But humility, on the other hand, this is a really good way to look at humility. Humility, on the other hand, is working as hard as you possibly can and still thinking that, like, subhanAllah, I need to do more. Because, like, you have fear, you have taqwa, you have fear of losing, you have all these other things so that you work harder, you work more.
But it's true, though. Every time that you have humility and you think that you could be doing better, you really can't be doing better. There's always something that you can improve on. So we have to always have that constant state of humility, because the second we become arrogant or we're not humble, then, you know, that's when we will be humble.
Exactly. And it's that humility. And you see, I said that arrogance will lead you astray. Look at how that humility causes you to do more good, do more righteous actions.
We could talk about, like, the lives of some of the prophets, right? So, like, Nuh alayhi salam preaching 950 years. So he was Muslim all this time. Adam alayhi salam, like, 1,000 years, he's a Muslim. Prophet alayhi salam, 63 years, he's a Muslim. He's doing good deeds. His status is above them. Because, I mean, for one, look at the humility he had. Who did more good than him? Right? He came with a message. He came to the worst of people. To be able to spread it in 63 years, to do all this, or to in 23 years, and to do all this good, and be the highest rank of an individual in the sight of a creation, as a matter of fact, the highest ranking creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people he's next to, the other prophets that he's next to, who lived longer than him, who probably had more time to do good deeds than him, who had more time to preach their message than him. But look at what you can do in such a little amount of time because of the way perhaps, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has loved you.
Has blessed him, yeah.
Yeah, this is for every individual has this ability to do lots more good deeds.
Because it's about the quality. It's like sometimes you have to really be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about your condition and knows about you. And one thing I want to bring up is earlier we were talking about knowledge and acting upon that knowledge. Here's the thing. Here's one of the biggest like lessons I take from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's life. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was an illiterate man. He couldn't read or write. And that's the way we know how to gain knowledge now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught mankind by the pen, right? Mm-hmm. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given more knowledge than the rest of us. He had knowledge that we didn't have. He was given the Quran. Who gave him that knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that knowledge. It really puts it in perspective that Allah is the one, even though you might be reading and writing and gaining, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately is the one who places that knowledge and gives you understanding. And you have to really thank God for that. And that's because I said this earlier, Islam is keen on the preservation of knowledge. The reason why it's so important is because if we can act upon the knowledge that we have and we can, that's truly powerful. That's powerful for us. That's, like I said, that's a superpower of a human being.
And acting with wisdom, because knowledge is only as good as the wisdom that comes behind it. So when you actually understand the wisdom behind something, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast or not. I may have, but I was like, I remember I saw a hadith and I went and talking about it. And then I was told that's not what the hadith is talking about. And I was so confused. I was like, what the fudge? I was like, how many times have I done that where I read a hadith, thought I knew what it meant. But in reality, there was like a more deeper scholarly explanation to it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh snap. Like, I really don't know nothing. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
You can read certain things, but bro, there's a deeper meaning behind a lot of things. Because one, hadith is also like, I would not revelation, but it's part of the deen of Islam, right? So everything that the Prophet ﷺ did and he taught, he left behind, these are all things that were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, because he never spoke from desire.
Exactly. So he never spoke out of his own will, or he never did anything out of his own will that he was going to preach and tell people, this is a good deed for you, or this is something good that you could do. Because there's a difference between something that he may have done that you don't necessarily have to do, such as like styling your hair a certain way, or an actual good deed that he did, such as praying the duha prayer or the night prayer or the sunnahs for every single prayer that we have in a day. Those are things that you're recommended to do. You should do these things because these are more virtuous. Smiling at your brother, giving more in sadaqah. These are things that are more virtuous for you to do, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not have explicitly explained all of these types of things, maybe because it would have burdened us. So doing them as sunnah shows that as much as you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you love this religion, loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the actions he did and trying to do them as he did, that's how you're going to attain the love of Allah. Because doing something the way that the person that Allah loves most did them, how are you not going to attain his pleasure? Mm-hmm. But you have to do these things with like wisdom, because Allah can give so many people knowledge. We know that Allah may give someone knowledge, they may misuse it. They may conceal it. They may abuse people with it.
And the worst of all is like you're given knowledge and you don't use it at all. You don't have the will to act upon it. That's like probably one of the worst things. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, exactly, bro. That's why it's so important where we say like with knowledge, you'll get that religiousness. But with wisdom, you'll get the spirituality that comes with it, because you'll be able to act upon it in a way that helps, that elevates you as a human being. Truly, like good character, that's a method of spirituality. You can't just get that from being religious, because someone can be very religious, but they're ugly. Like their character is very ugly. They're a very bad person. But you see them, they pray five times a day. They're in the masjid. But why are they abusive to their family? Why do they act very ugly with other people? Right? That's the difference. But why do you think these things go hand in hand? You can't say someone has good character, or you can't say someone has deen without good character. You really can't. Someone can always establish the fard, they can always establish these acts of worship that you can visibly see with yourself, but something like character, that's really within yourself, right? Because that character is going to remain ugly whether they're acting with someone or not, because Allah's going to see their character no matter what. He's going to see the thoughts that you have about another person. You see someone online, you're assuming the absolute worst of this person. You're backbiting them to yourself, come on. But is that going to make you a better person? No, it's not. Only up until, one, you can act good with the creation of Allah, and two, when you're by yourself, you can think the best of everyone. Think the best of yourself, come on. Start by thinking the best of yourself. Think better of who you are and who you're trying to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're not trying to do good, or if you're not trying to act good for the sake of Allah, or you just want to do it for the sake of pleasing another person, you're going to end up displeased by them and by Allah. Because whoever seeks to please or displease someone at the cost of their relationship with Allah, they're not going to have either.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is there's no obedience to the creation and the disobedience to the creator. You guys ever heard that hadith before? And Prophet said there's no obedience to the creation and the disobedience to the creator. And I want you guys to really understand how many times do we actually fall into this, or how easy it is to actually fall into this with especially just the people that we hang around. Our friends might convince us to go ahead and do something haram, right? And you know in your heart that it's haram, but you still choose to do it because you don't want to make them mad. Or when your boss tells you to do something or to be here at a certain time, but you know you have to, let's say, for example, be at Jum'ah, and you're like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and just listen to what my boss has to say or my teacher has to say, and now you're disobeying Allah. Like, I want you to understand that. Like, you should never be put in a position where you're choosing, what someone has to say before what Allah has to say.
Let's always put it in perspective. For example, if you were to miss work for Jum'ah, that doesn't mean you just ignore your boss, go to Jum'ah and be like, look, I had to be something. Like, no, communicate, bro. Because if you do these things, tying your camel, right? Communicate with your boss. Let him know, hey, I got to be at Jum'ah. This is a religious obligation upon me, and I'll be at work afterward. After that, you trust that Allah is going to take care of that situation for you. If your boss can't see that, even after you've done your part, then that's not for you. Then Allah will give you something better than that. And that's really what we have to realize, that we can't be afraid to do certain things being afraid of what the result might be. Meaning, if you were to lose your job in that situation, you did your part, but you have to go to Jum'ah. You think Allah won't provide something better for you? That's true tawakkul in Allah. And that's what tying your camel is going to look like in like an everyday situation, or not an everyday situation, but a daily situation, a life situation. Same thing with your friends. If you can't just simply tell them, hey, look, I can't be doing this. I don't agree with these types of
or
things.
Or we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, like, guys, I think we should be doing something different. You know, this is forbidden upon me. I don't even think it's a good action for us to do or a good place for us to be at. So I'd rather not do it. If they make fun of you or something, or if they talk bad about you behind your back or something, they weren't meant to be your friends. And this is how Allah is going to show you, give you a sign that maybe you should find different friends. Find better friends, friends who might elevate you rather than pull you down when you're hanging around them. Mm-hmm. But that, inshallah, I hope you guys took some benefit from this podcast. As always, these are reminders for us as well as for you, and advices, inshallah. The reminder is always going to benefit us as believers, so we should try to take that as best as we can and try to act upon them to the best of our ability. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all knowledge and wisdom that we can act upon it and ponder upon it. And with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. Never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.